S on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Remember that tomorrow and Thursday, we have day games. So if we're on it all, it'll be at the very end of the day. And then I'm heading to Colorado. So I'll be gone next week, but the guys will be here to hold down the fort. We welcome Scott Warman to the show. Everyone knows Scott from KMOX and being the in-studio host at Bally's for the Cardinals. Scotty, good to talk to you, my friend.
Hey, did you know I was listening that the Ding Ding Man showed up at my neighborhood this past Saturday?
Did you jump on it?
Nah, you know I did.
What'd you get? What'd you get, Scott?
Dude, I'm a chocoholic, man. Anything chocolate, I'm all about it, man. That's me.
What are the prices like these days, Scott?
They're pretty expensive. Not like when we were growing up back in the day, I guarantee you that. It was a couple of bucks, let's just say.
Yeah.
It wasn't like what it was back in the day, but they come just kind of sporadically, like you guys were talking about. You knew, we didn't know what time it was, but the Ding Ding Man was coming to the neighborhood. Well, now, maybe this week, maybe not for another 2-3 weeks.
No.
It's just kind of sporadic.
How many kids did you shove out of the way?
Oh, at least 3 wheels. You know me, brother. Had a little kung fu kick.
I had one guy. You know, because, you know, when you're a kid, it's on the top of your resume to screw with people.
Yeah.
And we'd screw with the Ding Ding Man. And I said to this guy, a kid, I'm sure, like, hey, why don't you give me some of that dry ice you use? And he goes, hold on. And he throws me a piece, and my dumbass catches it. And I go home. My fingers are burned from the Ding Ding Man. And Dad's like, what are you asking to throw you dry ice? What are
you? See, and here's the difference this. Back then, your dad is like, why are you so dumb to do this dumb thing? And now it would be like, where's the Ding Ding Man? Get my lawyer. I'm going to sue that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, he thought it was hilarious.
You learned.
I did.
Dave learned that day. All right, Scotty, let's turn our attention to work things. Obviously, the Cardinals and the Pirates, game one last night. We've talked a lot about all the different things today. Miles Michaelis being fantastic yesterday, the Paul Skeens show, the ovation that went along with all of that. But in the end, what it was just kind of another, damn it, frustrating night. You know, you lose a one-run game, and they feel like they play a one-run game 4 or 5 days out of the week.
They do. You know, when they had that opportunity, Wheels, in that fifth inning where you had a couple of runners on and no out. I mean, you know this. When you're facing a guy like Skeens or whoever's one of your elite pitchers in Major League Baseball, you get that one chance, you got to take advantage of it. Unfortunately, the next two batters struck out, so you didn't even get bat on ball, and you even had one of your runners move up to second base on a wild pitch, and you wind up empty-handed there, and that might have been the big opportunity for the Cardinals to jump on Skeens, at least get a run, if anything else, off that fantastic right hand. I got to tell you, we got done, Tom Pagnazzi's with me in studio this week. We got done from the studio here at Ballpark Village, and we walked over because I wanted to watch him play. In fact, you know, when we were texting each other, I told you I was so excited about the game last night. This guy, I'm telling you, Wheels, he's the real deal, man. This guy is so impressive. He's not afraid to go inside on batters, which you know is a big part of having success as a pitcher these days, so you don't have guys feeling real comfortable in the batter's box. And Skeens was everything in that. I know Pags was saying, look, he's only got 2 really great pitches. He's going to develop a couple more of those in the next couple of years, and he may be next to impossible to ever hit. And this is going to be, barring injury, because we've seen this before with the Strasburgs and the Pryors and the Ben McDonalds of the world.
Yep.
This guy could be one of the most special pitchers that we've ever seen. And the other thing, and Wheels, you know this, knowing the game so well, it's so effortless. The guy just sits back and he just wheels it home, and the next thing you know, it's 102 miles an hour.
He's basically Bigfoot, though. Like, he's huge. He's 6'6", 260 or whatever he is.
I love what Marmol said yesterday to Ricky in the meeting when he said he's basically a closer that goes for 7 or 8 innings.
Yeah.
It's exactly right, David. He just throws. We see Ryan Helsley do this, you know, for the ninth inning. We saw Jordan Hicks. Now, Hicks is obviously starting for San Francisco, he's not throwing 100-plus every inning, but Jordan Hicks still almost comparable from the standpoint that he can do it for more than one inning going 100-plus. But like you said, and Ricky obviously was told by Ollie, this guy can go 100-plus for six, seven, eight innings. And that was his longest performance, Dave and Kev, last night was seven-plus or six-plus innings, and he threw 103 pitches. So they're not babying him or coddling him by any stretch of the imagination.
I wouldn't either. Scotty, I loved the graphic you had last night with Pags talking about how great and how spoiled we have been in St. Louis with the catchers.
Yeah.
And while Pagnozzi is certainly rated, he's underrated. I mean, I don't think of him when I think of the pantheon of catchers, and that's a travesty. I should, because he was.
Absolutely. He's an incredible defensive catcher. Remember the star coming up in the late 80s and early 90s when Tony Pena was kind of fading after the Cardinals acquired him in 86 from the Pittsburgh Pirates. It was Todd Zeal. But then they wind up moving Todd Zeal to third base because Pags was so good behind home plate. And then you just kind of made that transition. It was Eli Marrero for a couple of years, and then it was Matheny. And it's really, I think, something because we are literally so spoiled. I know we've had struggles here the last year plus, but we really are spoiled with some incredible baseball. But you can even go back, like I mentioned, that's why I brought it up with our producer, who, by the way, is from Detroit. There you go, Wheels.
Hi there.
Our new producer over at Valley Sports. I said, look, you go back to the 60s, Tim McCarver, you know, he's catching Gibby and all these guys in the 60s. And then you got a Hall of Famer in Ted Simmons, and you know this, Kev, and Dave, you probably know it as well, you know, the only problem with Ted Simmons waiting so long to get Hall of Fame is because one of the greatest, if not the greatest, catchers of all time, Johnny Bench,
won all the Gold Gloves.
Yeah,
and Simba was in the shadows. Otherwise, he would probably have been recognized and finally got his just desserts and going into Cooperstown. And then he had Daryl Porter come over because Whitey was just a lot more comfortable with Daryl Porter. Porter wound up being the MVP in the 82 World Championship, which actually the first world championship I was ever to witness. I went to the game with my mom and dad in game 7. That was just completely awesome. And Porter was just fantastic in that series. And then they go out and wind up getting Pena. So yeah, the lineage is just incredible. And I've said this on our air, whether it's KMOX or even on Bally's, is the fact that I feel sorry for the person that has to replace Yadier, who to me is the greatest defensive catcher in the game of baseball. Johnny Bench even says the greatest defensive catcher of all time. So now it's, you know, handed off to Wilson Contreras, and you know, hopefully Wilson will be back here in the next couple of weeks. But it's an unenviable task, especially again, like you were pointing out, Dave, we talked about yesterday in the pregame show, the incredible lineage that this organization has had with catchers.
You know who Simmons was to me, because I'm old enough, I'm 59, I'm old enough to have really watched him and really enjoyed him as a kid. But next to Fonzie, Ted Simmons was the coolest cat in town.
Wasn't he, though?
The hair and the whole thing. And I remember this. I remember my mom going, he is such a good-looking man. I'm like, word, lady. My God, this is a beautiful man. And
that's
then,
funny.
Speaking of good-looking catchers, I was at Caldy's in the Valley with a buddy of mine, and Matheny walked in. And I didn't know it was Matheny. I just knew that suddenly I was in love. I'm just like, who's this tall drink of water in the cowboy boots? And he goes, it's Matheny. It's Matheny. Don't say anything stupid. I'm like, okay.
Dave's like, is this a movie
Ted,
star?
No, Ted Simmons, like back in the 70s, man, he just had like this.
Oh, he was the guy.
Like a Billy Jack vibe to him or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Now, it's funny because, you know, sometimes Mike would come into the booth or the studio, Mike Matheny I'm talking about, and all the girls are going, oh, they're getting all excited because Matheny would come in. They've turned back to their teenage years.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, Scotty, what did you think of the ovation? Ranji here was saying that he didn't hate it, but he didn't love it. He's like, look, it's a young kid who pitched really well against you. He didn't pitch a no-hitter. Don't give him a standing ovation. I was there, as I said a couple of times during the show, when Ken Griffey Jr. hit his 500th on Father's Day, and I missed it up over it, so I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's called respect, man. You got to respect the game. And I even mentioned this during our pregame show yesterday, is the fact that if you're just a casual baseball fan, you have to be pumped up to see the likes of this young man and Paul Skenes. So to me, I think it shows just the respect that Cardinal fans have for the game of baseball. And I know there's always going to be naysayers. I would respectfully disagree with Ranj. Wouldn't be the first or the last time. Like
I disrespectfully disagreed with him.
But I think it's just called respect, man. Tip your cap And I know even at the game, we ran Ollie mentioned it during his post-game press conference. So did Miles, even though Miles said that he had the better mustache than Skeens right now.
which
is kind of funny.
I got to say, hot take, Skeens' mustache looks dumb.
Yeah.
Miles is wearing it right.
It may look better than without, though.
Maybe.
He just needs more face.
Though. I think maybe he needs more than what he has. But Miles definitely has mustache game, yeah.
Oh, yes, no question about it. And then Arenado, you know, who grew up in Orange County as well, had major props for Skeens and what he did, too. So the kid is building up all kinds of respect. So if you're getting that from the other clubhouse and the other dugout, I don't see a problem with baseball fans saying, hey, man, tip the cap, you're pretty darn good for just 22 years of age.
So, Scott, we always want to be optimistic and, you know, put the best foot forward. But what's the vibe? How are you feeling in your gut about the next, say, month of the season or so?
Well, I think for me, and I actually mentioned this when I was over at the studio there working last week with you guys, is the fact that the schedule should play out into the favor of the Cardinals. Unfortunately, I don't think they took advantage, to be honest with you, with Colorado. I think you really need to take three or four. You got to win a couple of games here. And here's, and Wheels knows this too, these are 4-point games, as we would say in the National Hockey League, because you're playing within the division, because you got the Cubbies coming up over the weekend as well. So this is where you can maybe try to make a little hay, get the second place, and maybe give yourself some distance. My point is, Dave, is the fact that the schedule works into the Cardinals' favor here for the next couple of weeks as far as the teams that they're playing, and they have to start putting it all together. The positive thing is it looks like some of these injured players are starting to come back. Matz is going to need at least a couple of more starts at least, but you're probably still going to have to find a starter somewhere along the way. And I know over the weekend, John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, said as much. But the Cardinals also maybe getting Tommy Edman, I think that would actually be a big boost to this team, because even it was pointed out in the postgame show or the postgame press conference last night was the fact that, you know, Cardinals right now are kind of shorthanded when you think about late in the game and what are your options as far as pinch hitting is concerned. And so that's where your injuries kind of play a part. That's something I think the Cardinals definitely have to look into as we forge forward towards the season and into the trade deadline. And again, John Mozeliak said this weekend that, you know, they're not going to be sellers. They're going to be buyers. So I think they really believe in this team. And I think really you put it all together, and especially if Nolan Arenado really starts to turn around like he did last night, that's a big, big boost for this ball club, because I've said it time and time again. We saw it a couple of years ago, is Goldie and Arenado can carry a team for a while when they're gone. I mean, they're just that good. And you just think that somewhere along the way, especially now that it's starting to heat up, and normally if you look at their stats, the later it gets into the middle of the season, that's when they start heating up. Maybe this is the perfect time for the Cardinals to start making a move.
Scott, say hello to my buddy Al Roboski for me. Al once literally saved my life. He and I and Bulger and a few quote-unquote dignitaries, it was Marine Week, and they took us up in an Osprey, one of the aircraft that take off like a helicopter, and the back opens up. There's a gangplank. And so being me, I was showing off, and I was like standing up breakdancing or some stupid crap like that. And we hit an air pocket, and I'm going out the back. And Roboski grabs me by the jeans, the back of my jeans, pulls me down next to him, doesn't even look at me, just goes, dumbass.
Really?
That is the perfect
house. Isn't that great?
Yes.
That is awesome. I definitely have to bring up that story coming up on Friday.
Back in the Osprey. All right, buddy. Scotty Warman from Bally Sports. We appreciate it, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. You got it. Take care.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So, Andrew, I showed the other guys this picture. You can't really see it, but so remember the other day when I said that I bought a bunch of 1904 World's Fair memorabilia?
Yes.
And Ronjik is like, oh my gosh, my mom is so into that. And I said, oh, I'll give her one. And so I bought this beautiful glass plate from 1904 World's Fair, and it's just gorgeous, and it's gold plated, and then there's like red glass and the whole thing. And she has the exact plate.
Ah.
I mean, like, there are many plates like this, but they have, like, different exposition points in different buildings.
Yeah.
Her memorabilia is this exact plate that she got from, like, her aunt when she was little, but it's so old that it's all washed out. And so now she has the brand, not brand new, it's from 1904, but someone kept good care of it. But what are the chances? That's
hilarious.
Kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, it's kind of astronomical that you would give her the one possible piece of World's Fair memorabilia.
And it was from 120 years ago.
Yes. I just went to eBay and thought that's a pretty plate. It'll look good in my kitchen or what have you. Bought it. Thought it'd be a nice little thing to do to give to Miss Ranji now that I'm dating her. And and it's the exact same one she had. That's nuts.
That is crazy. So, it's kind of like the winning lottery tickets on the same street.
Right.
Are you going to adopt Chris?
That would be weird. He can't sit on my lap, though.